dreams and prophecies with the accounts of the Bible, real testimony soundbites of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Around me, I see prophecies fulfilled. Signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere. The sound of a mighty rushing wave.
Welcome to Issues weekly broadcast on Spirit FM 88.3. Romans chapter 13 verse 11 to 12 says, "And that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." On this broadcast, Brother Eben and his team reveal supernatural visions, dreams, and prophecies with the accounts of the Bible, real testimony soundbites of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Around me, I see prophecies fulfilled. Signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere.
A very good evening to our listeners. This is Spirit 88.3 FM. Issues of Life is the program. I'm Eben. We thank God for another Saturday, the first Saturday of the month. And indeed, it's always a privilege to come your way. Tonight will be a continuation of the series we've been on, Digital Parenting. And I believe there's a lot to talk about. There's a lot to learn, parents, and for the youth and all that. These are the days where the devil is stepping up his game and doing a lot, using technology and the media to achieve their ultimate aim. And that's the reason why this program talks about these things, some things to know about and all that. But before I forget, let me quickly read this announcement of this program that is coming off next weekend, God willing. The National Digital Parenting Conference 2021, and the theme is Protecting Your Family Online, 10 Things Every Parent Should Know, and other things will also be talked about. It's a virtual conference, Zoom, and so I think the link, what I'll do is I'll share the link on the Spirit Issues website as well as the Telegram group so that you can follow the link from there to register. It's on Saturday, 5 p.m., and then on Sunday, 5 p.m. And so that's how. Or you can send a WhatsApp to this number, 020-879-0627. 020-879-0627. 27, and just send me, M-E, me, to the number, or 020-140-0387. 020-140-0387. So just send me to these two numbers, and then the team will get you registered for the virtual conference on digital parenting. Okay, so let's get started for tonight, and thank God for this edition. Let me start with some of the news happenings in the world. Raging wildfires in Greece and Turkey forced thousands to flee. Wildfires raged uncontrolled through Greece and Turkey for yet another day Friday, forcing thousands to flee by land and sea and killing a volunteer firefighter on the fringes of Athens in a huge forest blaze that threatened the Greek capital's most important national park. And the pictures and videos are really, really scary, and it's quite serious. In Greece, which had suffered a record heat wave, civil protection chief Nikos Hadalias said firefighters faced exceptionally dangerous, unprecedented conditions as they battled 154 wildfires on Friday, with 64 still burning into the night. And it's quite very, very serious. Then Northern California town burns to ashes in devastating wildfire. And this town in Northern California, the town is virtually as hot. It's now ashes. It's burnt. And as hot, bone dry, gusty weather hit California, the state's largest current wildfire raged through the Gold Rush area, Sierra Nevada community of about 1,000 people, incinerating much of the downtown that included wooden buildings more than a century old. And, you know, we spoke about, I mean, last 2 weeks, and I think 3 weeks, we are having these floods, heavy floods, serious floods, and fires in various parts. Something is unfolding. You see, and when these are all warnings to just get people's attention to the fact that, you see, the world we live in, I mean, we can chase all the things we want, but nature can just take it off within a day. And these are just meant to let us be careful about the things we chase in this world. Yes, there's nothing wrong with having things to use them and all that, but we should not also be so obsessed with materialism and all that. It's quite interesting how sometimes people live their lives as though this world is their permanent home, and that's it. There's nothing more important than only the things we chase in this life. But there's more to it. And sometimes these natural disasters are ways to get our attention. You see, and it's quite serious, because even Christians sometimes fall into this trap of materialism. And it's quite serious, and we have to be aware of some of these things. And I believe as we hear these news items and all that, we just don't hear it, but it's just a caution to let us understand what is happening, and more so to give us a better reflection of the fact that the things happening in the world are not just ordinary. Especially if you really analyze it well, you realize a lot is happening around the same time. Wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, famine. The good thing out of all this is that Ghana, we are not seeing these things. So we can easily be caught in the trap of thinking, oh, all is well, nothing is happening out there. But a lot is happening out there. And that's why we tend to bring you these reminders about what is happening from the perspective of what the Bible talks about and all that. And then let's look at Belfast in Ireland, there's flooding, heavy rains affects travel and business. And about 50 homes were affected by the flooding. And this Mr. McCaster said the water was knee-deep and had entered a lot of properties. This area has flooded in previous years, but this is the worst we've seen in many years. And these fire news and flooding and all, you keep having statements like, this is the largest, this is the, you know, it's like unprecedented and all that. Clearly, things are just not the way it is. It's far more than we are seeing. And then we have Israel, UK and US say Iran behind tanker bombing and they plan a response. Prime Minister of Israel says that they have intelligence that Iran bombed a vessel near Iran. That's the Israeli, the owner is an Israeli, and they believe it's Iran. They have their intelligence to that effect. And you know, there's been a lot of maritime issues. Israel would shadow behind the scenes. They would attack an Iranian vessel. Iran will retaliate secretly and all back and forth. But this is the first time someone or people were killed. The US and UK and Israel are all certain Iran is behind the attack on the Mercer Street ship and plan to work on a joint response to it. Prime Minister Naftali Bennett, US Secretary of State Antony Blinken, and UK Foreign Secretary Dominic Raab all made statements that Iran was behind Friday's deadly bombing off the coast of Oman, hours after Iran denied involvement, a move that the Prime Minister called cowardly. I determine with absolute certainty Iran carried out the attack against the ship, unquote, Bennett stated at the start of a cabinet meeting. The intelligence evidence for this exists, and we expect the international community will make it clear to the Iranian regime that they have made a serious mistake. In any case, we know how to send a message to Iran in our own way. Iran's targetedness endangers not only Israel, but also harms global interests, namely freedom of navigation and international trade. Rather than striking Israelis, the Iranian attack killed the captain, who was a Romanian citizen and a British national. They were the first casualties in the ongoing maritime violence between Iran and Israel. Bennett sent condolences to the UK and Romania. Then, Chinese authorities interrupt Zoom church service and order pastor to stop preaching. Earlier this month, the Chinese Communist Party, police officers and religious bureau officials raided a church and forced a pastor and an elder to stop preaching. The incident, which took place at Shenzhen Trinity Gospel Harvest Church in Shenzhen City, somewhere in July, was conducted. Actually, this happened in July, but it's now being reported. Conducted during a service on Zoom. One church member who fled to America in April was in attendance during the virtual service as authorities surrounded the church building. According to China Aid, the church had previously faced an incursion in April after authorities raided the church during a Sunday service without proof of legal documents. At the time, police officers escorted Pastor Mao Zibin, Pastor Cao Yuan, and Elder Chu, and seven other Christians to the police station. Quote, today, joint force officials from the Religious Affairs Bureau, Public Security Department personnel, and National Security Agency authorities banned our church, unquote, Pastor Mao said in a statement following the incident. He noted that the church had not faced such a serious situation as this since its founding 4 years ago. Many dissidents of the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, have since joined the Young Church as it advocates for justice in China. Recently, Pastor Yang Wanyi's minister, Pastor Mao, and Elder Sheng Ling signed a joint statement by pastors, a declaration for the sake of the Christian faith. The statement was created by Pastor Yang Yi, the founder of Early Rain Covenant Church. The recent church raid comes following the CCP's 100th anniversary, which led to the arrest of hundreds of Christians and the forced inclusion of parts of President Xi Jinping's centennial celebration speech into pastors' sermons. Hey, this communist country. So pastor sermons had to add portions of the president's speech. Government controlled. Say what they want you to say as in your preaching. According to Open Doors USA 2001 World Watch List, China is ranked number 17 on its list of countries where Christians are most persecuted. Then the next news, we have Chinese officials forcibly remove crosses from fishing boats and paint over Emmanuel. Chinese officials forcibly removed crosses from more than 90 fishing boats owned by Christians in July, whilst allowing ships with symbols from other religions to leave the dock, according to a report from a religious liberty watchdog. The confrontation took place in Zhejiang province's Kushang Island, where more than 50% of the citizens are Christian, according to China Aid. The fishermen often decorate their boats with Christian symbols such as the cross and the word Emmanuel to give them a sense of peace, hope, and protection, International Christian Concern reported. But on July 28, government officials told the fishermen that if the cross is not removed, we will not give you authorization nor allow you to pump gas and not allow you to depart. The fishermen tried to reason with the officials and asked them for the government documents backing up the order. When none were provided, the officials boarded the boats and removed the crosses. They also painted over the word Emmanuel, according to ICC. Although the freedom of religious belief is enshrined in the Constitution, it is in reality an empty promise. The government never executes it according to the law, one fisherman told ICC. More than 90 of the 130 Christian-owned fishing vessels on Kushan Island had their crosses removed, ICC said. Quote, while the Christians were targeted, vessels with religious symbols from other faiths were left untouched, ICC reported. The fishermen had nowhere to turn to, so they shared their anger online. They accused the government of being unreasonable, since these vessels are personal property and the installation of a cross is an individual's freedom. It is only the latest report of persecution out of China. In May, China removed Bible apps from the App Store and also deleted Christian accounts on WeChat, a social media platform in China. We go to India, where we have Sikh. Sikh is a religion. Sikh beats and choke Christian woman in northern India. 24-year-old Christian woman in northern India regained the ability to speak nearly a month after she went into shock from a Sikh family choking her unconscious and attacking her sister and mother, sources said. Minu Tank remains bedridden on strong medicines, sometimes continues to fall unconscious and still barely speaks following the assault in Gawadi village, and according to her sister. Minu is unable to come out of shock, her 27-year-old sister, Harpreet Tank, told Morning Star News. She has lost her appetite and hardly talks. The assailant caught my sister from the throat and pressed it so hard, almost choking her to death. She fell unconscious. And then goes on to talk about how they attacked the family. And now the latter part says that when the attack happened, they were taken to hospital. The hospital, they refused admission and was taken to a high care hospital in another town where she received treatment for a week. Family members said Pastor Dev said that he learned of the attack, went to the hospital and arranged for her to be transferred to Christian Medical Center, where she remained until July 2nd. Police initially refused to register the victim's complaint, doing so only after Christian leaders intervened, according to sources. You know, these Christian persecution issues in India and parts of North Korea, China, and all those Indonesia and all those places, it just keeps happening. And these are just things to let us understand the challenges that other Christians are going through in serving God. In Mozambique, we have pastor grieves loss of one son and searches for missing wife and other son following insurgent attack. A local church, this is a short report here, it says the local church pastor in Mozambique is grieving the death of one of his sons and is searching for his wife and another son who are still missing after an insurgent group attacked their village in April. The pastor, who asked to be unnamed for his protection, told Christianity Today that his story is like many others in the Mozambique area. And it's worrying how these things are unfolding. But the Bible said these things will happen. Persecution will increase, will be hated from my name's sake. And not. So a lot of these things, and evil is rising, hatred for God. People are becoming more anti-God in their daily lives. They just hate God, anything God. So when you identify yourself as a Christian, they target you. And I mean, so these are the realities elsewhere. Fortunately for us in Ghana, we don't see these things that much. I mean, in our normal settings, in most parts of our cities, and all, we don't experience this direct hatred and crimes against Christians. We don't experience it here. So we sometimes think it's normal. I mean, because we have it so easy here, no pressure on you to nothing like denying your faith and all that. But these are things to learn from. So that at the point when situations turn and we experience some of these things, we would know that others have been going through, and it's also possible for us to go through as we depend on the Holy Spirit to guide us and give us the strength to endure some of these things when the time comes. This headline says, 7 dead, at least 250 houses burned in overnight attacks in Nigeria. A series of violent attacks during the weekend nighttime raids in Nigeria blamed on Fulani radicals has reportedly led to the deaths of 7 people, the destruction of nearly 300 houses, and the displacement of many. However, a leading Fulani advocacy group has put the blame for the violence on local youths. Suspected Fulani militants attacked villages in Nigeria's Miango district in the Plateau State during unhindered and undistracted attacks that began Saturday night into Sunday morning, according to a statement released Sunday by the Irigwe Development Association. According to the statement, the violence resulted in around 100 acres of farmland being destroyed, at least 250 houses burned, and mass displacement. We are calling on the government and security agencies to come to our aid, as our people have been left homeless, their farms destroyed, and loved ones killed, IDA Secretary General Comrade Dajuma Dixon said in an interview with the Daily Post. He said these actions have been a recurring decimal, as many homes and farms have been destroyed by the heartless people. According to the United Kingdom-based aid agency Barnabas Fund, the attack occurred in a predominantly Christian area. Okay. In Bangladesh, we have Bangladesh church attacked twice by Buddhist radicals after weeks of threats. A small Christian church in southwest Bangladesh was attacked and destroyed twice amid weeks of threats from radical Buddhists against Christians who refused to reconvert to Buddhism. Many believers in the community are reportedly displaced from their homes. Local reports say 2 attacks on the church in the village of Suandrapatra in the hilly district of Ragamati came after weeks of threats. Buddhist radicals reportedly told the Christians they would destroy the church if the church members did not tear it down themselves. The converted believers, however, refused to renounce their faith in Jesus. The radicals told us to destroy the church, but we will not. The Tubel Poran Adetin, that's somebody's name, the church's assistant pastor, told Asia News, the official press agency of the Roman Catholic Pontificate Institute for Foreign Missions. Quote, if we have to sacrifice our lives, we will. They threaten us to return to our old religion, but we will not return. Jesus Christ is our Savior. We will die for him. Let me repeat. If we have to sacrifice our lives, we will. They threaten us to return to our old religion, but we will not return. Jesus Christ is our Savior. We will die for Him. You know, when you read some of the persecution reports from the East, that's why I keep saying, I've been saying this for a long time and I'll keep saying it. The Christianity that is practiced in the Eastern part of the world is at another level when you compare to what we have in the West. Sharp difference, because the Western, the European, the American type, and for which Africa largely follows, I would classify it more of as Dadaba, you know, Christianity, where it's we are different levels at all. I mean, completely, because you see the difference in approach, how they respond to persecution in the East, and you realize we have a lot to learn from these people. The Christian residents of Suandrapara built the small brick and tin church in January through funding provided by Bangladesh Tribal Baptist Church. The pastor said they regarded and prayed daily despite threats and opposition from the Buddhist majority. The Christians were given a 7-day deadline to stop all church activities and reconvert to Buddhism. The believers refused to comply. The attackers threatened more consequences if the Christians reported the incident to the media or the police. Adderton said the church did not report the destruction to the police station for security reasons and the Christians desire to live in peace. Wow. It's serious. Persecution watchdog organization Open Doors USA ranks Bangladesh at number 31 on its 2021 World Watch list of countries where Christians face the greatest persecution. In Bangladesh, many believers must gather to worship in secret house churches for fear of attacks. Bangladesh's population is nearly 170 million, and less than 1% identifies as Christian. Wow. So of the 170 million, Christians are just 1.7 million roughly, less than 2 million out of 170 million. That's serious. Okay, back to India, where we have Christian persecution watchdog fears police orders to surveil Christians' activities will increase attacks on believers. As Christian persecution continues to rise in India, all police stations in one district have been ordered to keep surveillance on Christians and report on any conversion activities. A U.S.-based persecution watchdog group now fears that attacks on Christians might intensify. The superintendent of police of the Sukma district in Chhattisgarh state has issued a circular to all police stations directing officers to surveil the district's Christian community and be on the lookout for fraudulent religious conversions and to act against Christians where these activities are found, International Christian Concern reports. Several incidents of intimidation, threats, and assaults against the Christians of Sukma have been reported since the circular was sent, ICC reports. Quote, four policemen came to our village whilst we were having a prayer gathering on 23rd July. Bima, a Christian from Sukma, was quoted as saying, they inquired about conversions. They did not do anything to us, but after the police left, the Hindu radicals in the village started using abusive words against all Christians. They threatened that they would chase us away from the village. Another local pastor was quoted as saying that all churches in the village have been forced to stop all the worship gatherings. Christians make up about 2.5% of India's population, whilst Hindus, comprise 79.5%. India ranks the 10th worst country globally when it comes to Christian persecution, according to the Open Doors USA's 2021 World Watch list. To the US, where we have Orthodox rabbis slam Joe Biden for naming lesbian rabbi to Religious Freedom Coalition. A coalition that represents 1,500 500 Orthodox Jewish rabbis condemn President Biden's move to nominate Rabbi Sharon Kleinbaum, a leader of the LGBTQ-focused congregation Beit Simchat Torah, to the U.S. Coalition on International Religious Freedom, USCIRF, saying it sends a counterproductive message amid threats to religious freedom. Kleinbaum is the spouse of American Federation of Teachers President Randy Wade Gatton. Quote, a person's sexual preferences should be a private matter and certainly irrelevant to prayer. Kleinbaum, by contrast, leads a congregation that insists LGBTQ is a matter of identity. Unquote. Rabbi Yaakov Menken, the managing director of the Coalition of Jewish Values, told Fox News on Thursday, ahead of Biden's Friday announcement. Quote, at a time when religious people are persecuted worldwide for their personal, sincere beliefs that marriage is between a man and a woman, and gender is permanent, biological, and determined at conception, placing Kleinbaum on the commission devoted to ensuring religious freedom sends precisely the wrong message and could hardly be more counterproductive, unquote. Critics have said Biden's championing of LGBTQ issues has come at the expense of religious freedom concerns. Under Biden, the Department of Health and Human Services fought to resurrect a federal mandate forcing Roman Catholic hospitals and doctors to perform transgender surgery after a court ruled in favor of the Catholic health providers. It is troubling that this administration is going after religious doctors, hospitals, and nuns. We saw it with the Little Sisters of the Poor when the government tried to force them to provide contraceptives and abortifacients. And now the administration is trying to do the same thing with controversial gender transition procedures. Luke Goodrich, a vice president and senior counsel at religious law firm Beckett, said after HHS appealed the decision in April. Biden has long championed the Equality Act, which critics say weakens religious freedom protections in the Religious Freedom Restoration Act of 1993, a landmark bill for which Biden himself voted as a senator. The misleadingly named Equality Act is an anti-freedom bill that empowers federal government to enforce conformity by punishing disagreements on sexual orientation and gender identity. Emily Cao, then the director of the DeVos Center for Religion and Civil Society at the Heritage Foundation, warned in 2019. In his announcement on Klein, Biden praised the rabbi as, quote, a powerful voice in the movement for equality and justice for people of all sexual orientations, gender identities, and expressions, unquote. He also noted that Kleinbaum has served on the New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio's Faith-Based Advisory Council. You know, when you bring a lesbian to be a rabbi who claims to be a lesbian or who is on a committee that is also going to champion religious freedom, and this same religious freedom is being attacked for people who believe man and woman are how, I mean, that's how God created life to be in marriage and all. So how would this institution work if this woman is part of deliberations on meetings? Clearly, they are going to compromise against Christians who stick to these beliefs because one of their own is also having a lifestyle that's exactly what Christians are not in favor of or do not support by their faith. To the U.S. again, a bit further to Hollywood area, where this actor, this is important because it links to what we are discussing on this program. It says, Jamie Lee Curtis, she's an actress, says she shed old idea that gender is fixed as her son transitions. So Hollywood star Jamie Lee Curtis revealed she watched in wonder and pride as her son became our daughter, Ruby. saying she no longer believes in the biological reality that there are only two genders. The Halloween actress said in an interview with AARP that her second child, once known as Thomas, has transitioned from male to female. Now, the 25-year-old computer gaming editor will be known by his chosen name, Ruby. With her son's permission, Curtis revealed she watched her son's transition with wonder and pride, adding, he and his fiance will get married next year at a wedding that I would officiate. Curtis, 62, described this portion of her life as one of shedding that resulted from doing a whole lot of reading. One of the things she now believes is that gender is fluid and not fixed. Gender is fluid and not fixed. I mean, it's amazing. So a 62-year-old woman, now, after reading whatever things she read, believes that gender is fluid. So you can move from man to woman, woman to man. I mean, I'll talk after this. Says she described her life as constant metamorphosis and said she one day hopes to have grandchildren. I mean, this is what amazes me and makes me, irritates me the most. These people, they want children, but yes, they want it the way, so other people should give birth, then they will go and adopt. I mean, and sometimes it's just, you just ask yourself, so you believe that it's not only men, it's not only women that give birth, but men can also give birth. So why don't you give birth as a man? You see, you say you are a man, but now you say you are, so from Thomas to Ruby. Now that you are Lady Ruby, why don't you give birth? But is it because you can't give birth, they will then go and adopt? So who should give birth for you to go and adopt? Which woman should give birth for you to go and adopt? And you see, this is the absurdity of what is happening in the world now, where they twist things to suit them, and yet they also still want to have children. I mean, come on. I mean, how can you... You are planting mangoes and you expect to be ripping apples. How on earth do you expect that to happen? Who should plant the apples for... I mean, it can't happen. You can't transform mangoes into apples. There is no magic you can perform. But these people think, yes, they can change their gender and everything, and then magically they can just get children from somewhere else and call their own. In 2020, okay, sorry, I missed a chapter, sorry, a paragraph. It says, the Knives Out actress has previously shown her support for trans-identified individuals. In 2017, she tweeted a Huffington Post article titled, Dear Trans Kids, Curtis added, the letter we all wish we had written. You know, so her interest has been there, no, but I'm getting to the point where there's an important statement there. In 2020, Curtis signed on a direct and on to direct and star in a televised film about founder of Free Mom Hugs, Sarah Cunningham. And then, but Cunningham is a GLAAD Media Institute alumni who openly celebrates the LGBT community. And then in 2019, Pride Source article, Curtis shared that she believes sexuality is nobody's business. It doesn't matter. The daughter of star Tony Curtis and Jeanette Leigh Curtis explained that she has always been comfortable around members of the LGBT community because of her Hollywood parents. You see, so listen to what a child, another child is saying. The daughter says that she explained that she has always been comfortable around members of the LGBT community because of her mother, her Hollywood parents. You see, so because the parents hang around with these people, the child doesn't see anything wrong with it. See, this is where it starts from, that influence. So you see, this is where the danger line is. That, oh, it's somebody's lifestyle, so it's their choice and all that. But you see, if you get exposed to them, you mingle with them, you watch their programs, eventually your conscience would not, you will not see anything wrong with it. And then if care is not taken, you begin to see it as it's acceptable. And in the extreme case, you would also want to join them. You see, so there's an influence in associating with them indirectly. And then eventually, when it's directly, it's even more serious. Then it says, my mother's makeup artist was gay. The playwright that she did a play with was a great friend of our family who was gay, she added. You see, so her mother's influence, the artist, I mean, the makeup artist of the mother was gay. So you can imagine. So this person comes to the house all the time. So the child sees this person, and this influence has gotten into the child. Now this child grows up a bit and says, transitioning, I'm moving from a man to a girl or a lady, whatever. So from Brother Thomas to Sister Ruby. I mean, but it just didn't happen just like magic. No, something will push this child, who is now a young adult, to take that decision. There's an influence somewhere. He saw it somewhere. He got interested and he followed that lifestyle. Because there's nobody who will just be there without any information, living his normal life, and then suddenly wake up and say that I want to transition from a man to a woman, a boy to a girl. No, it just wouldn't happen. There will be a trigger. Something will push that interest. And that interest, the sources of those, I mean, these things, the media is a major one. That's why we are discussing this thing in digital parenting. The technological, the social media, the TVs, all these things are various sources. That's the children or the teenagers or the can get, or the youth can get exposed, and then their interest levels get aroused, and then they start making decisions. So influence is very, very dangerous in these times we are in. That's why parents have to control what the children are exposed to as much as possible. Okay. Then, okay, last two, I believe. Okay, hey, a few more. Okay, to quickly get this one done. There's this case in the U.S. where the father took the case to court. The mother says a four-year-old boy should be transitioned into a girl, and the father says no. And the mother goes to court, and so court orders James to stay with mother, who says he is a girl, and gives father limited visitation. So you can imagine, the mother is influencing the boy, and now even calling the boy by a girl's name, and the father, who is against it, is now having limited access to the boy. You see, the system itself is encouraging this thing. I mean, it's serious. This is in Texas. And quickly, the next one. This one, you see, last week I talked about medical professor apologizing to medical students that, I mean, when it talks of a woman gives birth and all these things. And I thought it would end there. And now this week I see this one. American Medical Association. I mean, this one is no longer just one doctor, one professor. The association, American Medical Association, urges removal of sex from all birth certificates. And quotes, says, there is no clear standard for deciding a baby's sex. American Medical Association. You know, there is something happening in the world. Perhaps you haven't seen it or you are not noticing it, but there is a certain wind that is making people act in ways that makes no sense again. And I call it the wind of change towards madness, because the things happening now defies common sense. It defies logic. I mean, you have a whole last week's own medical professor apologizing to medical students when you say a woman gives birth, to say, I'm sorry. I mean, you offend someone, so you can't say that. I mean, sorry for saying that. And then medical students too, angry for the lecturer saying that. Now you have the whole medical association. The American Medical Association is recommending the removal of sex from birth certificates. In the move, it says, will prevent discrimination based on gender identity but that critics say is anti-science. The AMA this summer said it would advocate for the removal of sex as a legal designation on the public portion of the birth certificate. The current policy of placing a baby's sex on the birth certificate, the AMA said, perpetuates a view that it is immutable and fails to recognize the medical spectrum of gender identity. Hey, doctors. Medical doctors. Quote, while there is no clear standard for defining sex designation, it is typically determined at birth by a child's physician or parents based on external genitalia, unquote, the AMA said. Gender is a social construct that describes the way persons self-identify or express themselves. A person's gender identity may not always be exclusively male or female. These are doctors talking, medical doctors. A person's gender identity may not always be exclusively male or female and may not always correspond with their sex assigned at birth, unquote. Something is happening. The recommendation passed the AMA's House of Delegates, which is the policy-making body of the American Medical Association. You can't believe this. I mean, you see, some of these things you would expect. I mean, how do you even describe it? Children to be talking like this. But now you have learned people who understand, not just learned civil engineers, learned computer scientists or other things, technical something, machine, mechanical. But doctors who understand the body that God created us, they have studied the way God created the human body, the biology, understand how the body parts correspond and everything. And now, because of this sudden wind that is blowing in the world, medical experts like this are now saying that you don't determine the sex of a baby at birth again. Other factors come in. So now you give birth to a baby, you see everything will point that this is a boy. But these doctors say that no, we can't just look at that and say it's a boy. Oh no, Sodom and Gomorrah, they were jokers. What we have now, this generation is worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. Far, far, far. Because it's as if, last week I was saying that perhaps Sodom and Gomorrah, if they had someone preach to them, they might have changed. If they knew the laws of God. Because there was nothing like Ten Commandments or the laws at the time. So perhaps if they knew it, they might have changed. But fast forward to our time. We even have the story of Sodom and Gomorrah as an example to learn from. And we have the word of God, the pastors. This generation has no excuse regarding these things because we know what has happened in history to learn from. And then we also know that this is sin and this is not sin. We know what is sin. But we don't care. There's no fear of God. So this generation is worse than what the people of Sodom and Gomorrah were doing because we have the law of God. We know the Bible. And even these same people are even fighting the Bible because to them it's even offensive. The fact that the Bible says it's a sin, they are even angry about it. They find it offensive for the Bible to say that LGBT lifestyles, it's a sin and all. So they know the word of God. They know what God likes and what God doesn't like. They know it. So they have no excuse. And this is the generation we are in. And you see, as I'm saying, if it was just, excuse me to say, the unlearned and uneducated illiterates who are talking this way, fine, we'll just leave it as that. But now that you have the medical aspects, supposed medical aspects, who should know better? But now, because of the wind of the wokeness, as they call it now, woke generation, WOKE, everything, this woke, liberal lifestyle. And now people are putting their professional ethics and knowledge and experience And then saying that, no, you can't, if you see a boy, little boy there, it's not a boy. Till either the parents determine what it is or why, because, let me say it, because now till they determine whether it's a he or a she or whatever fluid that person can even be, because they have other things you can become. So you can say you are not even a boy or a girl, as some say that they are non-binary. So they are neither here nor there. So you determine what you want to be, and that is what becomes your identity. Something is wrong. It goes on to say, in order to protect individual privacy and to prevent discrimination, U.S. jurisdictions should remove sex designation on the birth certificates, the recommendation says. Let me end it here. Now, this one. It didn't end there. Now, Harvard lecturer was on Fox News. I saw the video, and it's like, so Harvard lecturer takes heat for defending existence of biological sex on Fox and Friends. So this Harvard lecturer is saying the correct thing. Boy, I mean, man, woman, boy, girl, stuff, correct. Then another university staff gets angry that why should she be talking that way? So Harvard lecturer Carol Hooven took heat from her own colleague after an appearance on Fox News this week, in which she asserted that biological sex is real and defended the continued use of terms like pregnant woman and male and female. This is common sense. This is the right thing to say anyway. Now, the ideology seems to be that biology really isn't as important as how somebody feels about themselves or feels their sex to be. Hooven told Fox and Friends Wednesday that the facts are that there are in fact two sexes. They are male and female, correct? And those sexes are designated by the kind of gametes we produce, correct? Hooven, the author of a book about testosterone, teaches human evolutionary biology at the school and appeared in a segment dedicated to discussing how medical schools had gone woke. The whole thing didn't sit well with Laura Simon Lewis, the director of the Diversity and Inclusion Task Force at the Harvard University Department of Human Evolutionary Biology. Lewis, who identifies on Twitter as a bluish feminist mermaid. Hey, so this is how somebody identifies herself. So, bluish feminist mermaid, called Hooven's defense of science dangerous. So now, this lecturer says the correct thing, man, woman, pregnant woman, what's the correct way we've known all these years. And this is being classified as dangerous. I'm appalled and frustrated by the transphobic and harmful remarks made by a member of my department in this interview with Fox News, she wrote. I respect Carol as a colleague and scientist, Lewis added, but this dangerous language perpetuates a system of discrimination against non-cis people, that's those without gender, I mean, those confused people, within the medical system. It directly opposes our task force work that aims to create a safe space for scholars of all gender identities and sexes. This is Harvard. This is Harvard University. You know, if you have people like this at some of these top universities, it should tell you the quality of students that are coming out from these universities these days. Because if lecturers are now apologizing for saying the truth, so what are they going to teach the students? You see, so this generation is clearly on a dangerous path of self-destruction, because the level of depravity that we are headed on, it should tell you the type of youth and the adults that are being churned out from the universities in some of these countries. You know, it's very worrying, but as parents, as Christians, all is not yet lost, because at least you can control and have a great influence on your family. And that's what we are talking about on Issues of Life. I'll be back after this short break. Issues of Life. This is Eben on Spirit 88.3 FM. Greetings to our listeners in various parts of the world, within the country and outside the country and outside the city of Kumasi. Okay, so the last few weeks I've been talking about digital parenting. I started with music and the dangers, and we talked, about a few things. Tonight I'm moving on to another segment. We're talking about screen time, TV and all that, starting of that tonight. And let me start off with this verse in the Bible where it says, Proverbs 22 verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. This is a principle. If you train up the child in the way he should go, he will not depart from it. And Psalm 101 verse 3, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. That's the first part. I hate the work of them that turn aside, it shall not cleave to me. But the first part is my emphasis. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. It's unfortunate that indirectly and directly, parents are setting evil things before the eyes of their children, and are also allowing their children to set evil things before their eyes. And by this, I mean the things they have access to watch on their phones, on the TV, computer, wherever, whatever. And see, we parents should be determined ourselves as adults, whatever, siblings and all. We should be determined not to set wicked things before our eyes. And we also have to factor in the children. You see, the issue is most times, or in some instances, the children are the parents are the role models the children follow, because what they see the parents watch at home is what they would also be watching, because they are, the family is watching it together. They get used to it. That's what they know. So sometimes the parents have set wicked things before their eyes, or before the eyes of the entire family, and now the seed that was sown becomes a problem for the children, because now they are getting used to it. But let me read these three case or news in recent days, and then we move on from there. Disney's Muppet Babies puts Gonzo in a dress. That the Gonzo is a character, a cartoon character, and promotes trans ideology. Disney Genius animated series Muppet Babies dived into a cultural debate over gender expression and LGBT ideology in recent days when it aired a new episode showing Gonzo, a male character in the series, wearing a dress to a royal ball. At the beginning of the episode, two female characters, Miss Piggy and Summer Penguin, announced that everyone is invited to a royal ball similar to the one in Cinderella. Hearing the story of Cinderella and seeing a picture of the fairy tale in the book, Gonzo tells the girls, "I would love to wear a dress like that too. Your royal ball." Summer Penguin responds, "But Gonzo, Piggy, and I are the princesses. We wear the dresses." Piggy adds, "According to the royal handbook, the girls come as princesses and the boys come as knights." Kermit the frog tries to console Gonzo. You are gonna have a great time being knights," but Gonzo remains despondent. Moments later, with no one else around, a magical fairy rat's father appears and places a blue dress on Gonzo. He even gives him glass sneakers. "This makes me so happy," Gonzo said. Gonzo names himself Gonzorella and goes to the ball without telling everyone who he is. But in the final moments of the episode, he reveals that he was Gonzorella. "I don't want you to be upset with me, but I don't want to do things just because that's the way they've always been done either. I want to be me," Gonzo says. I'll come to this statement. Let me repeat. "I don't want you to be upset with me, but I don't want to do things just because that's the way they've always been done either. I want to be me, Gonzo says. Piggy apologizes, telling Gonzo, it wasn't very nice of us to tell you what to wear. Piggy then says she wants to get rid of the royal handbook and make a better one. And in our new handbook, Summer Penguin says, everyone can come to the ball dressed however they like. You see, this is Disney, a children's program. Disney Junior. So, a purely children's program. But it's a very subtle LGBT message that they put in there. Very subtle. Very, very subtle. You see, so this is a clear way of manipulating the children to see nothing wrong with a boy wanting to look like a girl. And then it says, I want to be me. And that's one of the phrases they put, like, be yourself. I mean, so don't allow people to influence you. Just be yourself. However you feel, be that way. Do as thou wilt. I mean, just be yourself. And you see, so, but this is not an adult play, adult drama, adult series. This is children. But you see, the human mind is very powerful. It analyzes, it absorbs information and all that. So the child sees this and will begin to process it. It is okay. There's nothing wrong with it. For a boy to look like a girl. You see, so it looks harmless. Oh, cartoon, children. But there's an agenda behind it. You see, these people are bent on these globalists, the liberal, filmmakers, the celebrities, top influencers in the society, the world. They have an agenda. They hate God, first and foremost. They hate God. And one of the highest insults to attack God is to change his nature. His creation, the way he has created things, man and woman, boy, girl, to change it, alter it in a way that will insult him. They know what they are doing is wrong. They know what they are doing is a sin, but they don't care. They don't fear God. And they've not left it with the adults alone. They've come down to the children level. So Disney is seriously pushing it in their cartoon programs, their children programming and all that. That's why I keep warning on this show countless times. Parents should be aware of what they watch. Be careful what your children watch. Because, is it for this channel? Yes, years back, it was a safe zone. No doubt about it. Years ago, Disney was a safe channel for children to watch. You could, as a parent, let your children watch from morning to evening, and you know that nothing dangerously so serious will be, shown to them. But now, 2021, you dare not expose your children to this channel freely and expect that something harmful will not come to their eyes. Something wicked will not be set before their eyes. And this is what is happening. They are destroying the thinking of the children. So it's not surprising that you have 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds who now are insisting they want to also change the agenda. Because the question is, who told a 4-year-old or a 5-year-old boy or girl that you are a girl? A boy that you are a girl or a girl and says, who told that child that? That information came from external. Because within the child, there's no way that child would want to change, or the pressure will be within him to change. No. All through, we've all been children, we've grown up. Those thoughts didn't come that we should change our agenda. But now you're having an information overflow, negative information overflow on these children that is beginning to cause them to ask questions along this line or make demands that they want to change. So boys, little boys now say they want to be girls. And when they grow a bit now, the parents too, who are not correct, start giving them the puberty blockers and all these, medication to transition them and all that. But it starts from somewhere. Let me read the next one. It says, Disney actor says, Disney actor said he is proud his character comes out as gay in the new film Jungle Cruise. A new Disney movie has come out called Jungle Cruise, and one actor said he is proud that his character comes out as gay in the new film. According to the report, Jack Whitehall, a British actor who ironically is himself not gay, told reporters that the movie's premiere at Disneyland that he didn't know it when he read the script. His character, McGregor, reportedly comes out as to Dwayne The Rock, Johnson's character, Frank, in the film. I hope that it's a scene that audiences enjoy. I certainly felt at the time that I was proud of the work that we've done, Whitehall added. The reporter from Variety said, it will mean a lot to the LGBT kids. Let me repeat, it will mean a lot to LGBT kids. And Whitehall replied with, yeah, I really hope so. Yes, I really hope so. That this movie that they've done, this Hollywood movie, Disney movie, would please LGBT children, kids who are LGBT. You see, Disney movies are supposed to be for children. But now you see what they are infusing in these movies. So you see, it's not just about, oh, this is a children's channel, so it is okay, let them watch, there's nothing wrong. It's children's channel, you see colors, so you think it's okay. Don't be deceived. They are now hidden messages they are passing on to the children, and you, the adults, you think all is well, but all is not well. They are setting wicked things before the eyes of the children through their programming. And then the final one, this headline says, two headlines, but it's the same story, different sources, but the same story. It says, Disney debuts non-binary character on the Owl House, on July 24th. This was last week. Then under headlines, also say Disney makes television history again with first non-binary character. The Walt Disney mass media company is at it again, and it's making television history. As if it's some good thing they are talking about. This history, is this something good? The organization introduced the first non-binary character in one of its Disney Channel series. Rain Whispers appeared in Edda's Requiem, episode 7 of season 2 of The Owl House on July 24th. The Owl House is a fantasy comedy that follows the story of a teenager in Connecticut who stumbles upon a portal to a magical realm and befriends a rebellious witch, Edda. Non-binary or genderqueer, according to Wikipedia, is an umbrella term for gender identities that are neither male nor female, identities that are outside the gender binary. Non-binary identities fall under the transgender umbrella, since non-binary people typically identify with a gender that is different from their assigned sex. Although some non-binary individuals do not consider themselves transgender, according to Wikipedia. The character is voiced by non-binary actor Evie Roque, who considers the opportunity as, quote, dream come true. Dream come true, unquote, Yahoo reported. He said the pronouns used to describe his character are they and them. So you call a human being they or them. Same way, fan is any. Disney first introduced LGBT characters Luz Noceda and Amity Blight in The Owl House during the first season in 2020. So this series, The Owl House, in 2020, they introduced LGBT characters. 2021, they are bringing non-binary character. It tells you they know what they are doing. Their agenda is to push it to the children, destroy the children, poison their minds. So clearly, if you have a decoder that has this channel on it and your children are watching it, please advise yourself. If because of the children that you would put the decoder away, it is better to do so than to say because of your European Football League, because of this channel that you watch, because of this that you watch, so you, then either way, whichever way you do to control it, do. Because so far as that channel is concerned, and their programming is concerned, it is a dangerous thing for your children to watch. I've given you just three examples, three cases. I mean, news. These are all news items regarding Disney movies and their cartoons and their programming. You see, and these are what officially come out. Because in the midst of their programming, the normal, the cartoons, their movies these days, there are suggestive signals that they send, which are coded messaging. So, I mean, except you really are following as an adult, you miss it. Because coded messaging, they do it in a subtle way. But you see, the human mind picks a coded message. To the subliminal, you know, the mind understands it unconsciously, but it's not too plain as you say it. But unconsciously, the mind picks that information that is being sent indirectly in the acting or the cartoon. You see, so the child's mind is being programmed the way the thing has been designed. So they don't need to show naked cartoons. No, they don't need to show that. They won't show that. But they are showing fully dressed cartoons, all right. But a message is being sent. A signal is being sent. The decoding of the mind of the child is being done. They are reprogramming the child's thinking to accept indirectly this LGBT things. Oh, it's cartoon. But the harm is being caused. So if care is not taken and this child gets continuously exposed to these things, by the time you realize, the influence has started. And you see, as Christians, let's not forget that we are dealing with spiritual entities. We are dealing with the spiritual realm. And the biggest mistake we can make as Christians is to downplay the fact that demons, people can watch things. And it will affect them spiritually. I mean, if you downplay that and think, oh, it's not possible, it's the biggest mistake you make spiritually, because you can watch something and it will affect you spiritually. It's a reality. So let's be very careful about this. You know, there are countless research works. Let me just read one statement or an excerpt of Jeremy Adams, a school teacher and university professor, who recently authored a book titled Hollowed Out, Hollowed, like H-O-L-L-O-W-E-D, Hollowed Out, a warning about America's next generation. And technically, this applies to Ghana. A warning about Ghana's next generation. Speaks about children and technology. Adams pointed out that he has a front row seat to American decline. As a teacher in the public school system, he describes how there's a disturbing pivot in our culture, in our schools, and in our country, as seen in the liberal views of today's young people. He argues that one of the main causes of these problems is their dependence on technology or tech devices and social media platforms, which easily lead to addictions to pornography. He said that there is a synthesis happening between the unraveling of the American family and the digitization of life for young people. Adams also mentioned how young people have been sucked by society into following the cult of radical individualism, which would argue that the road to happiness is not about connecting yourselves to relationships and values and behaviors that have always led to human flourishing. He not only criticizes young people, but also adults and parents who have allowed for these problems to continue. He calls on the older generation, especially parents, to stand out as traditional role models and to make sure that we mold a world in which they, that's the youth, absorb the values which will allow them to lead a meaningful life. Lastly, Adams provides solutions and ways in which parents can raise their own children. He believes it's essential to keep smartphones and technology away from kids until they have fully matured into adults. You know, the effects are there, and this is one scientific report I'm coming to read, excerpt of it. The title is Impact of Media Use on Children and Youth. And this is from Pediatrician Child Health, 2003, May, June 2003. This is a long, even this, so it tells you even by now, if they are to review this research work, the results will be far more damning than what I'm about to read. This title is Sexuality, where it says, today, television has become a leading sex educator. This was a Canadian research work. So television has become a leading sex educator in Canada. Between 1976 and 1996, there has been a 270% increase in sexual interactions during the family hour of 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock. Television exposes children to adult sexual behaviors in ways that portray these actions as normal and risk-free, sending the message that because these behaviors are frequent, everybody does it. Sex between unmarried partners is shown 24 times more often than sex between spouses, while sexually transmitted infections and unwanted pregnancy are rarely mentioned. Teens rank the media as the leading source of information about sex, second only to school sex education programs. Numerous studies document adolescents' susceptibility to the media's influence on their sexual attitudes, values, and beliefs. A detailed guide to responsible sexual content on television and in films and music can be found in other peer-reviewed publications. And then it goes on to say that some people believe that the media can influence sexual responsibility by promoting birth control, such as condom use, etc. No current empirical evidence supports this concept. It is expected that the debate will continue. Then they address the issue of music videos. Let me quickly add that one. Music videos may have a significant behavioral impact by desensitizing viewers to violence and making teenagers more likely to approve of premarital sex. Up to 75% of videos contain sexually explicit material, and more than half contain violence that is often committed against women. Women are portrayed frequently in a condescending manner that affects children's attitudes about sex roles. Attractive role models are the aggressors in more than 80% of music videos' violence. Males are more than 3 times as likely to be aggressors. Blacks were overrepresented and whites underrepresented. Music videos may reinforce false stereotypes. A detailed analysis of music videos raised concerns about its effects on adolescent normative expectations about conflict resolution, race, and male-to-female relationships. Music lyrics have become increasingly explicit, particularly with reference to sex, drugs, and violence. Research linking a cause and effect relationship between the explicit lyrics and adverse behavioral effects is still in the progress at this time. Meanwhile, the potential negative impact of explicit music lyrics should put parents and pediatricians on guard. Pediatricians should bring this up in anticipatory guidance discussions with teenagers and their parents. At the very least, parents should take an active role in monitoring the music their children are exposed to. And this is what I spoke about, the music aspect, last week and last 2 weeks. You see, but these write-ups are coming from the scientific community. These are not even spiritual views, but these are scientific views and research out findings and all that. You see, and we have to be aware of the fact that what the child sees is going to influence them. If a child is exposed to, you know, I don't know whether last week I asked this question or I spoke about it, that if you look at the youth now, the current youth we have, the teenagers, the those in their 20s, and you see those with this funny hairstyles and all, if you are to ask them who their favorite singers or musicians or celebrities are, the probability that their role models or the people that they pick as their favorites have like hairstyles that is closely related to theirs. You see, so how did they choose to do those type of hairstyles that they've done? So if it's not from a music celebrity, then it's a sports personality or another celebrity. But they are picking this lifestyle, this style, hairdo and all that from the role models unconsciously or consciously that they identify with from the TV or social media, and they feel like looking like them. You see, so this is just an example to let you see how the influence that these things have. And you see, you have people in their 20s and 30s who are doing these styles, hairstyles, you know, and you see, like, you see the person and you realize, oh, this is a Shatawale follower, this is Stoneboy follower, and the hairstyle is mimicking either of these two people. So the influence is very real and it's very strong. So that's why if you are a parent, your children are exposed to these things without any controls, it will amaze you that soon they would want to look like the people that they follow and they watch. Because there is a very strong correlation, there is a strong bond, a strong link between how the people who follow them want to look like their role models, quote and unquote role models. See, so this negative influence should be something that parents should be worried about. That's why it is so dangerous to just allow your children to watch anything on the screens, you know, these music videos. You see, they are suggest you watch, you see the music, and you see the dancing first minute, second minute, you know that this dance is purely, you see, the music video is clearly not, they are not naked, but the whole thing is suggestive. They are sending a message, the type of dance and all. You see, so these are the dangers. So when you tell someone that don't expose your children to too much TV or TV at all and some of these things, you know, some will not understand it, but control what the children watch at home. And not just control, but educate them. Let them understand the need and the reason why you want them to stop watching what they watch. And if possible, that you can give them alternatives to watch, do so if it's possible. Because you see, just exposing them or just restricting them without understanding also doesn't help that much, because then mommy says we shouldn't do. But why shouldn't we do? Well, she didn't say it. You see, then now the temptation also rises. Ah, but why mommy says you shouldn't watch? Why didn't she? Why? I mean, then that temptation. So mommy is not there. Let's go and watch. But then when you sit down with the child, from a Christian point of view, teach the child. Let the child understand the dangers. Let the child know what is involved in some of these things and why, as a Christian, what you watch, what you listen to is important. You see, when you lay that Christian foundation and you build your whole case on this Christian foundation and you guide the child would understand and the impact will be stronger positively. So it's not just about don't, but then it should be along a strong biblical background and good moral advice as a parent, and monitoring and advice and control. You see, you have to blend everything together in a loving way that the child would then begin to appreciate the need. You see, so we have a long way to go regarding some of these things. And most times, parents just ignore these things and think, oh, it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter. Let me read excerpts of this one. Screen time and young children, promoting health and development in a digital world. Canadian Pediatric Society, Digital Health Task Force, Ottawa, Ontario. They wrote this thing. And this excerpt says, children younger than 5 years require active play and quality family time to develop essential life skills such as language, self-regulation, and creative thinking. Regardless of age, children should not have to compete with screens for parental attention. When parents model healthy screen habits, they, one, minimize their own screen use when young children are present, especially for meal times. When that's, I mean, time you are eating, play and other prime opportunities for social learning. Two, prioritize interactions with children through conversation, play, and healthy active routines. Three, choose when to use media together and turn off screens when they are not in use. Four, help children to recognize and question advertising messages, stereotyping, and other problematic content, and ensure that media used in the presence of children is free of such content. See, and this is a classic example of where parents are stuck to their phones and it affects communication with their children. And homes where TV is on. There are some people, it's like, as soon as they enter the room, the TV should be put on. Whatever is playing should play. Whatever is on should be on. That's like the TV should always be on. You see, when a child grows up in that type of environment, that atmosphere, that habit will be inculcated in the child, where it's like the TV should always, there should be always something to be watched. It's not a good thing for the children. And that's what these pediatricians are saying, that, I mean, the TV should be turned off if there's nothing to watch. I mean, and even advocate for the fact that parents should also be able to make time to watch some things with their children alongside, you see. And so, you see, these are all essentials because it helps the children even to bond with the parents the more. But as I said, creating alternative things for them to watch is also critical. I mean, Christian material, Christian Bible stories, there are some on YouTube and all that. You see, when they are watching Christian things, which you know is safe for them, you know at least they are being kept in a positive way. Then they have some recommendations. Let me quickly go through some of them. It says, to promote child health and development in a digital world, physicians and other healthcare providers should counsel parents and caregivers of young children on the appropriate use of screen time. Specific recommendations include the following. Minimize screen time. It goes on to say, screen time for children younger than 2 years is not recommended. For children 2 to 5 years, limit routine or regular screen time to less than 1 hour per day. Ensure that sedentary screen time is not a routine part of child care for children younger than 5 years. Maintain daily screen-free times, especially for family meals and book sharing. Avoid screens for at least 1 hour before bedtime, given the potential for melatonin suppressing effects. Then reduce this subtopic, they say it's mitigate or reduce the risks associated with screen time. Be present and engaged when screens are used, and whenever possible, co-view with the children. And this is important for sometimes these days, some schools, the children are given assignments, go and do research and all that. If possible, assist the child to do search online so that, you see, you are guiding the child. The reason why this is important is some pages can open and the adverts that may pop up may not be safe for the child. Or after the child has finished the homework, the so-called research, some links may show or a pop-up may show, and that temptation to continue becomes a reality. You see, so where possible, parents should also guide the child when online doing these research works and all that. Be aware of content and prioritize educational, age-appropriate, and interactive programming. Use parenting strategies that teach self-regulation, calming, and limit setting. So you see, you should be able to let the children know that don't watch beyond 1 hour. When you finish watching, turn the TV off. When you finish playing on the tablet, come and put it down. Like at this time, when you finish this game, come and put it down. You see, these are habits we should be able to push in the children so that they are also able to adopt the self-control aspect of using these devices. Then another point, they say, as a family, be mindful about the use of screen time. Conduct a self-assessment of screen habits and develop a family media plan for when, how, and where screens may or may not be used. So you can come up with your policy at home. When you are eating, nobody touches a phone. You see, so then you, the parents, you have to abide by it. See, so when you set the right example, the children are also knowing that, oh, yes, you mean what you say, and you are doing, when they are also faced with that decision making, they know that, oh, their parents do it, so they can also do it. And then help children recognize and question advertising messages, stereotyping, and other problematic content. Remember, too much screen time means lost opportunities for teaching and learning. Be reassured that there is no evidence to support introducing technology at an early age. And this is the point they are making. And adults should model healthy screen use. Choose healthy alternatives such as reading, outdoor play, and creative hands-on activities. Turn off your devices at home during family time. Turn off screens when not in use. And avoid background TV. Background TV where it's like the TV is on, nobody is watching, but it's like it's just on in the house. And it's, but there are these 10 questions that parents should, and then as all the listeners, listen and then answer to yourself. 10 questions to consider asking families with young children. 1. What kind of screens are in your home? Example, TV, tablet, computer, smartphone. Which does your child use? Is watching TV or program movies on other devices a shared family activity and a common way to relax? How often is a screen on in the background, although no one is really watching? Does anyone in the family use screens during meal times? 4. What do you watch with your child? What does your child watch alone? 5. Do you encourage or discourage conversation with your child whilst you are using screens? 6. Do you ever watch adult commercial programming with your child? 7. Does your child use screens whilst you do chores around the home, often or sometimes? 8. Are there any screen-based activities in your child's daycare program? Do you know how much these are used? 9. Does your child use any kind of screen before bedtime? How long before bedtime? Is there a TV or computer in your child's bedroom? Does your child take mobile devices into the bedroom? And then 10. Does your family have rules or guidelines about screen use that everyone understands and shares? And you see, let me get to the 9 and talk about it briefly. It's very wrong to let your children have a TV in their room. It doesn't matter if you've bought a new TV and because the other one is there and you say, okay, let them put it in their room. Please, take it out. If you have nothing else to do, then go and find someone who hasn't got a TV and go and dash it to that person. It is wrong to let the children have a TV in their room, including teenagers. Young teenagers. I mean, you are virtually tempting them. You are putting a wicked thing in front of their eye because the temptation becomes strong because whilst you are asleep, the child is tempted to watch TV. And perchance, if the child in changing channels, gets to a channel that is dangerous and now gets stuck there, a habit has started. A bad habit has started, which is very difficult to uproot. You see, so allowing them to keep have devices in their bedroom, it's extremely dangerous. As for that one, parents should, as much as possible, ensure that if you've already made that mistake, please reverse it immediately. Today I was at a funeral and we were chatting along these lines, and one lady was saying that a friend decided to bump into the child's room unannounced, and what the child was watching on the TV was deadly. And the child was, why didn't you knock before coming in? Hey, this abrochery things, they are bringing it here. Why didn't you knock before coming in? You see, and of course, if you knock, they will change the channel, so you don't see what is watching. But this is just to, the mother walks in without any announcement, without any notice, and now sees what the child is watching. And this is the reality. You see, so parents should really not follow, because you have it, so let them have it. Because you can afford it, so let them have it. Because it's there, so let them use it. We should, as much as possible, restrict and control. You see, it will amaze you. God willing, next week, I believe, I'll read some statements or some excerpts of the users, some of the technological big names, and how they restrict the usage of devices in their homes, like Apple engineers and even the Apple founder, what's his name? I've forgotten the name. He restricted usage of devices by the children for a long time. So he who has Apple, the company Apple, can have all the iPads and iPhones, can design even special versions for the children and all. They didn't give them access to it. You see, the same Bill Gates delayed giving the children access to smartphones till at a later age. You see, so they know the associated dangers with these things when the children are exposed to it. They know it. The same, when it cuts across social media, the top guys, Facebook to Twitter, the top engineers, the top, guys there, they don't use the thing as much as themselves. They've created it for others to use. They themselves, I remember Twitter, one vice president or one of their top CEO or something, not CEO, but like either CEO or the CTO, was some years back, said that he goes there like once in 3 weeks or something. So they just use it once in a while. Some even pay workers to manage their pages for them. Zuckerberg, for instance, he doesn't use it. His page is managed by workers that he pays. You see, so they create it for others. You use it. We know the dangers involved. Like this, if you watch this movie, the movie about these things, the dangers and all, you see how the side effects of these things are. So they know it. So they protect their children from the technologies that they sell to others. You see, so if we just, in the name of technology, just follow things blindly, we'll make a big mistake. The movie is Social Dilemma. It's that bad. You watch it. I've said it before that I left Facebook. I deactivated my account. Yes, I had wanted to, but after I watched that movie, that was the done deal. I said, no, that's it. This movie gives me the full reasons why I should leave this platform. You see, because you see experts, people who have worked there, Facebook, Twitter, all these other places, who have left there, who now have a problem and are explaining the impact, how the thing psychologically and all that, from their angle. These are experienced people who know the system. They were part of some of the creations of some features and all. So you see, they know, they understand. And they are explaining it from the angle that makes you appreciate the dangers the more. That's just an example as to how these technologies are influencing children, adults, teenagers, the youth, and all. So screen time is absolutely critical, because we have instances where when I get to the social media aspects in one of the editions, I'll talk a bit more about it, because where you have teenage, and youth suicides going up, and some are based on these screen time issues, because the child is influenced by the things they see in TV or in the movies or in the games and all that. You see, so parents need to really do the right thing. Today, tonight, I'll be able to pick a few calls. The number is, what is the number, Kra? Okay, 054-6898-888. 054-6898-888. And pick a few tonight. Okay. Yep. Hello. Good evening.
Good evening.
Please, my name is Frank.
Okay, I can hear
and
you.
I would like to applaud you for dedication, because as you indicated, as parents, we always leave our children thinking that the cartoon channels and the children channels are very safe. But today you have enlightened me a lot, especially not giving children TV in their room. Sometimes we think that it is for their convenience for parents to do that. But and since you are also buttressing whatever you say by facts, I think you are doing a very good job. God bless you for the insight that you are giving us. So please, when I just switched and I was hearing it in the car, which days do you have this program? Like, do you have particular days?
Oh, it's on Saturday evenings from 8 to 10 p.m.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. God bless.
Bye. God bless you.
0546-898-888. Okay, we have another caller. Hello, good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening.
I'm Deborah. Speaking from Rufiedu.
Okay.
And God bless you so much.
Amen.
I already heard about it, the cartoons and what they have been doing. But I didn't know how to teach my kids, how to explain things to them for them to understand. I'll just tell them.
Mm-hmm.
What did you want? So if it's part of what I've heard that these transgender and other things are in, I'll just tell them don't watch.
Mm-hmm.
And that is it. And I realized that when I'm not there, they watch it, because the youngest will tell me what this is. I told them they shouldn't watch Disney at all.
Mm-hmm.
And when you mentioned the man pet babies, I called and asked. And he confirmed that he watched it. So I was alarmed. I asked him and he said, oh, it was somewhere like, I just told him, don't watch it again.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to explain things to them so that with prayers, they will go where we want them to go. God bless you so much. And thanks for the education.
Amen. Okay. Thank you for calling. 0546-898-888. You can send your WhatsApp to my number 0244-638-757. That's WhatsApp and SMS. But for the call, you can use 0546-898-888. Yeah, I've said it. Okay, we have another caller. Hello, good evening.
My evening, sir.
Yeah, please lower your radio a little. Okay, all right. Thank you.
I'm out watching.
Yeah.
Okay, one thing I also come on, I've realized is that parents don't train their children how to pray.
Oh, please, the radio, if you can lower it a little further. All right.
They don't teach their children how to pray.
Critical.
That's a missing link.
Yeah.
if they taught their children how to pray, how to communicate with God, their spirit will link with the Holy Spirit. So the body, that body will become a house for the Holy Spirit to dwell in. So parents don't help their children, build them spiritually, to know the scriptures through communication in prayer and the study of the word. That's the mistake the parents have done a lot.
Yeah.
That is my contribution.
Thank you very much. And it's a very critical one he has said, because coming back to the train up a child in the way he should go, and when he grows, he will not depart from it. And, you know, I believe in the course of this series, we'll be talking about, you know, the children aspect, the Sunday school. We leave things to the Sunday school teachers alone, but parents, the back stops with us. We have to do the thing. Hello, good evening.
Yeah, hello, good evening. I'm Charles calling from Achinase.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I want to thank you for the insight you've given us this evening. Actually, you know, this education you've given us this evening has drawn my attention on my son. He always tell me that, Daddy, I need a gun. Whenever you're coming back from town, buy me a gun.
Wow.
I ask, you want a gun? What are you going to use it for? He said, I need a gun. Remembering, you know, what he's educated us, it gives truly what the children watch on the television and the life that they live. You get it?
Yeah.
It actually imposes certain things on their life. So I really want to thank you, and that there's a call for alarm for us, you know, the parents to do something on our work. Thank you very much.
God bless you too. You know, when it comes to guns, I have two boys. I've never bought toy gun for them before. Never. I mean, it's a car, yes, toy car, other plane, and but gun is one. I told myself I will never buy a toy gun for my children. And parents listening, please, never buy a toy gun for your child. You see, it looks fun. Oh, pushing, like, oh, just playing. But you see, America is where they are now because of some of these things. I mean, when you get to the series where I'm talking about video games, some of the research works and all, they are playing a key role in some of the lifestyles that they are seeing.
Yeah.
You see, so it's very critical. So parents, let's beware. Thank you. Thank you very much.
God bless you too.
Okay. I think we can pick one or two calls. 0546-89-8888. Okay, I have one message here. Okay, I think 1, 2, 3. Wow, let me quickly see how fast I can read. Okay, we have a caller. All right, good evening. Hello.
Good evening.
Yeah, good evening.
How are you doing?
By His grace, I'm fine. Yeah.
So, we thank God for your life and your impact you are actually making into our life.
Amen.
And our children. This is the first time I'm actually joining your program, but I realize that it's an impactful program. That parents like you and myself, we have to take into consideration, and we should make sure that we take good care of our children, we monitor their life, at least we can't save them 100%, but if we make sure that we regulate things that they will be watching, things that will be around them, all these things influence them, either negative or positive. That sometimes, you know, we are not also closer to them all the time.
Oh, yeah.
So, to me, I believe that only God will help all of us. Human beings, we are also very, very, very technical. Children to our children, but they also have a way of keeping secret from parents. So, it's also a problem. I believe that the great God will help all of us.
Amen.
Thank you for your program.
You're welcome. Yeah, we have this message that says, parents and guardians don't get time to monitor their words on what to watch and what not to watch. The TV stations are doing a bit by placing age limits on certain programs. But majority of parents and guardians don't understand it. Lord have mercy on us. But you see, that age limit thing, okay, let me pick this last caller. and then we continue. Hello, good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Yeah, good evening.
Good evening.
Yeah, you're on air.
I'm Alfred.
Okay, right.
God bless you for the program.
Amen.
I always do the listening. I love it, Paul.
We thank God.
Especially the news. When it comes and then the preaching comes crowd and everything is well with us.
Amen.
In fact, me as an adult, I used to hovering around a cartoon star. It's not easy. I love the Tom and Jerry. I love it, Papa. But you see, I have to flee from me. In fact, I have to be faithful, truly. Yes, I love that. I used to buy them. I've been buying them. And even I have them here. They are here because I don't have a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Who trouble me? One of my nephew came here and he took some. He just pleaded of my brother. He just pleaded to take some.
Mm-hmm.
And then the mother also did on his behalf. In fact, about 2008, I was at a Kwame Nkrumah University of Science and Technology, chaplaincy, Protestant chaplaincy, children's Sunday school teacher training. So I heard that Avatra was tapped by the what they call so called other worlds. So I was shocked. Mm-hmm. Looking at that thing, they've been watching it at night at school, and it has some effect on them.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, when things like this you are seeing, people might think it's just a threat or others are ignoring, but I will all plead with our colleagues that they should help so that whenever we all come together, whether at school or at workplace, anyway, we will all have one mind in order to build up a Christendom for ourselves, because the world is so closing up on us.
Yeah.
Keep on. God bless you.
God bless you too.
God bless you so much.
Okay, we have Isaac says that, good evening, Reverend. Thanks for the insight today. I think parents should control the screen time of their kids. I know of a child who is 5 years old. Reverend, this child is addicted to the mother's phone. Without the phone or anything cartoon on the television, the child will cry till you give him what he wants. I think we need more wisdom from heaven to train them. Thanks for the insight. God bless you. God bless you too for listening. Indeed, you see, time is far, far, far spent when you need it most. But God willing, next week, Saturday from 5 p.m., as I said, the version, this one is online, the Zoom conference, the National Digital Parenting Conference 2001. The theme, Protecting Your Family Online, 10 Things Every Parent Should Know, and other topics will be added. This is a virtual conference, and you can participate. It's free. So if you would want to register, just send me, to 020. That's WhatsApp, 020-879-0627. 020-879-0627. Or 020-140-0387. 020-140-0387. And I believe you can join. So God, that will be 5 p.m. next Saturday, and the Sunday to 5 p.m. All right. So we thank God for tonight. The file will be uploaded to spiritissues.info, and to those on the Telegram group too, I'll drop the file there so you can listen to it or you can share it with your friends later. Good night. This is Eben. God bless you.